The good news is you kept those losses small, and eventually you caught those big winners that more than made up for those small losses and then some. And you preserved your mental capital, now your physical capital, and you're in a really good headspace. So when the market does turn higher, guess what? You'll be ready to swing the bat again and capture the next round of winners and hopefully have the next leg higher.
You're listening to Last Week in the Market, the podcast for self-guided independent traders. Hey everybody, thanks for listening into the podcast. I am Sean Vincent. I am the voice of Last Week in the Market. Pretty soon we'll be joined by Adam Sarhan. He is the brains behind Last Week in the Market. He is the creator of the AMPED trading strategy. That's AMPED. This podcast is for AMP traders or people who are interested in finding out more about it. Today's a good day to be an AMP trader. If you're listening to it contemporaneously and you're watching the QQQ fall deep below the 50-day moving average, you might be wondering, how's that a good day? Well, if you're an AMP trader, you have protective stops in place. Many AMP traders, those stops have been triggered and they're now in cash. If not, they have those stops placed at a place where they're comfortable with the risk, hoping that the market will return. If not, they know how much they're prepared to lose. That's part of the beauty of the AMP trading strategy. We're going to talk about that today and more. But before we get to all of that, remember that in the market, the past does not predict the future. No results are typical, and there is inherent risk when trading in the market. This podcast is for educational purposes and does not constitute financial advice. Today is Friday, April 19th, 2024, and here's what happened last week in the market. We've been tracking the QQQ as our leading index. On Monday, it plummeted below the 50-day moving average, and it's pretty much been headed downward every day this week. It's been down 5 of the last 6 days. That doesn't mean this bull market is over, but it does mean that it's pullback time. AMP traders are on the defense, and we're waiting for a new rally attempt and a new follow-through day. I'm sitting here. I'm watching the QQQ plummet today. It looks like it's it's almost halfway between the 50 and the 200-day moving average. Yes. Weirdly, for me, a great day as an AMP trader, and I want to tell you why.
Tell me about it.
I want to tell you why, because I set up. We started doing this podcast the very last week of July of last year, and I set up a portfolio contemporaneously so that I could follow it and make trades while we were talking about market conditions and the AMP system and see it through a cycle, right? In a pure form. And so the first trade I made, and our listeners may remember that the beginning of July was sort of the end of the spring rally from 2023 from March through end of June. There was a nice uptick. It kind of peaked out right at the beginning of July. And by the time we started talking, we were in pullback territory. That lasted for a good 3-4 months, really. Mm-hmm. It was in November when the Fed sort of indicated that it thought it'd be raising interest rates this year. And what I've learned is that when the Fed says...
You mean raising rates?
Or lower. Yeah, the Fed suggested it'd be lowering. And then the market rallied on that suggestion of news. It wasn't even news. I've learned to listen to the Fed when they actually don't make a rate change. What they say about the rate change, I take with about as much legitimacy as I do when my kid says they're going to clean their room tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Very well said. Okay, sure. We'll see it.
Yeah.
So what that means is that the first trade for this portfolio didn't go in until August 30th when there was a follow-through day. You know, I was watching the FineLeadingStocks.com newsletter. It looked like there were some potential opportunities there. I took a couple positions with cautious stops, lost, right? In fact, I'm looking back at the portfolio chart. The first 6 trades I made were losers. The first winner I got, Adam, was on November 13th. Which was after the Fed made that announcement and when really this current rally started. And so I set the QQQ around August 30th as my benchmark. for how I was going to see if mm-hmm. I could beat the market using your amped trading strategy. Yeah. And I think it's a good time to mention to our listeners that no results are typical, right? That past future,
yes,
past, doesn't.
Performance is not indicative of
future
results.
Yeah, but I do want to share from someone exercising your amped trading strategy, some amazing lessons that I've learned and a success story. So it took me, well, I told you, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 trades to get in. It took me 4%, frankly, of the portfolio to get into the first winning trade. And then I'm going to tell you, I lost 1, 2, 3, 4 out of the next 6 trades went bad on me mm-hmm. over that next month. But by that point, I had 3 good positions that seemed to stick. And things got a little bit easier mm-hmm. for a while. And Adam, right now, if I was to use a huge, so here's what happened. Today's a rough day on the market, right? I've stopped out of all of my positions except for gold. And so over the last few weeks, things have been going sideways and then it started to go down. So I tightened my stops to where I felt comfortable that they had room to breathe. But for the most part, I thought if they crash through to 21 and pop below the 50-day moving average, then this runs probably over and I don't mind getting out and locking in my profits, right? By Monday morning of this week, I had 70% of my money in positions, 30% of the portfolio was in cash. This morning, stopped out of the last 3 positions except for gold. I'm now 97% cash. But here's the deal, man. I've locked in for that time period a 16.15% gain.
Very well done.
My
and how about the market?
Well, the QQQ, when I started it at that August 30th date, is now at 11.5%.
So you're beating the market.
So and the market's still going down. Well, I want to beat it, right. And I'm in cash, so my risk is now done. I hit the cash register. I didn't do it on purpose today. Like we always talk about, that decision was made, some of them over the weekend, some of them weeks ago, right? I'd set my stops to where I felt I was comfortable with the risk. I didn't have to make any trading decisions today, but I was out of 3 positions, each one of them for a really nice profit. Yeah, we talk all the time, and I'm just going to reuse this lesson, you know, this experience that I've had today to reinforce the things that you've been talking about for the last, you know, 7 months or more. There at one point, my unrealized gains were around 24%, right? But locking everything down, I'm around 16%. Am I upset about the difference, that other 8%? I am not. Because that wasn't the benchmark. And I think when you see it, when people are skeptical about being able to quote unquote time the market, right? Those are people who think they can get in at the very bottom and then get out at the very top. And you and I both know that that's impossible to do every time, all the time. That can't be the expectation. It's absurd to think you can do that. So like I was saying, it took me a 4% loss to get into this rally. And it looks like I've given up a good, you know, 7-8% up at the top. But we couldn't have known that was the top.
Normal.
Right?
That's called the drawdown. Yeah, that's normal.
Yeah, and
happens to everybody, Sean. Every single trader in the world has drawdowns.
Right, but in the end, today, I've cashed out. My risk is down to almost zero. I have just 3% of the money left in a position that's still profitable. And so all my gains are locked in. My unrealized gain number is now a realized gain number, and it's 4.5% above my benchmark index, and I feel great about it.
Congratulations. That's a huge win. And by the way, the other thing too, Sean, give audience some color too, is that you don't have experience in the financial services business or trading stocks for 30 years. I mean, this is just right off the gate, out of the bat. So, you know, great job, number one. Number two, it's perfectly normal to go through these situations. And you're out and locked in your game. We talked about portfolio heat a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
or even months ago at this point, where you knew in advance that, hey, if all my stops get hit, I lose 7 or 8% and I'm comfortable with that. Okay, here are my stops. And then you got out of your own way and you let the market guide you in and out. And you did a really, really good job. Yeah, you had a few stumbles at the beginning. Everyone has losing trades.
Right.
It's everybody has them. But the good news is you kept those losses small, which hats off to you. Great job. And you kept swinging the bat. And eventually you caught those big winners that more than made up for those small losses and then some. And they put some really good points on the board.
Yeah.
And you preserved your mental capital and now your physical capital. And you're in a really good headspace, so when the market does turn higher, if and when it does, anything's possible.
Yep.
Guess what? You'll be ready to swing the bat again and capture the next round of winners and hopefully have the next leg higher. So
yeah.
Hats off to you. Great, great job.
Well, and let's talk about the eighth wonder of the world, compounding, right?
You know it.
Now,
yeah.
now that I'm essentially cashed out of this rally, so now what I'm doing, Adam, is I'm watching the FineLeadingStocks.com newsletter every day. Right. I watch the market, and we're looking for this thing to hit a low, and then have a follow through day, right? So now this whole cycle now resets. You know, I've gone to mostly cash through the use of my protective stops. Now I've got more money than I started out with. I've got a profit,
right?
And now that's my new. That's my new 100%, and now it's a waiting game of watching and waiting for a bounce and then a follow through day. It took me 4% to get in this rally. I'm confident I can do it. I see some mistakes I made. I put my stops in too broad in a market that hadn't proven itself with strong market conditions. I took too many positions when I wasn't sure about the market conditions. I think I can I can get in for less than 4% this next time I bet, and I believe there will be a next time. It's a matter of when.
Yeah, there's always a next time, right? Based on history.
Yeah.
So, a few thoughts here, Sean. So, number one, great job. Number two, the market resetting. Let's talk about that. So, right now the market's going down.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing that has to happen in order for the market to go up is that it has to stop going down. And that is considered an up day in the market. Literally, the market just has to close higher.
Right.
So that would be day one of a new rally attempt. And this is, you can go back and study this from Investor's Business Daily or, you know, legendary investor William O'Neill really coined this framework and came up with it. And he did a great job at doing that. So day one of a new rally attempt would be the first day the market stops going down. Now, the question becomes, is does this rally attempt get confirmed? Or does it just spend 1 or 2 days or 3 days or 4 days and then roll over and hit new lows again?
Right.
So as long as that low of day one is not undercut, the market stays above that low, we have a chance for a follow-through day to emerge, which would confirm the rally attempt. So usually it's day four to day seven. Could come as early as day three or after day seven. But anytime, as long as that first day's low is not undercut, you have the windows open for a follow-through day. Then we just start counting the days, day one, day two, day three, day four, day seven, day 10, day 20, whatever the day is, you get a big, huge up day, 1.5%, 1.3%, 2%, 2.5%, the bigger the better on heavy volume,
right?
Heavier volume than the prior session. Once you get that, that's what's known as a big accumulation day, a big follow through day. That confirms a new rally attempt is underway. And then the coast is clearer. It's all about probabilities. It's a higher probability trade to get in on a follow-through day by something, by leaders that are breaking out or setting up or whatever the case may be, because there's a chance that that rally turns into a new leg higher. Now, most follow-through days, just like most trades, just like most things in nature, most apple seeds, if you have an apple tree, thousands of seeds come out of that tree. One goes into, or maybe two come into a new tree. The rest of them fail. Most follow-through days fail, that's okay. Most trades fail, that's okay. As long as the losses are small when you're wrong, when you're right, the winners are way bigger. So if that rally is going to be a new huge bull market and hit new highs and so on and so forth, every rally in history began with a follow-through day or multiple follow-through days like we saw in November.
Yes.
So of 2023. So, and we've seen that before, multiple follow-through days. And great, the more the better. But we just need one. And then you start probing slowly. Hey, what are the stocks that didn't go down when the market was going down and they outperformed? They show relative strengths.
Right.
Something that's just a word that's defined show the leaders. What are the leaders doing? The ones that are going sideways when the market's going down. And as that corrects, let's say 10%, I'm throwing out random numbers here, and this stock just goes dead tight and it's down 1% from an all-time high. That's an example of what we're looking for now while we're in this pullback, environment where the right. market's pulling back and correcting. Which stocks are, refuse to budge? Look at Wells Fargo, for example, WFC. You could pull that up. Not only did that stock not go down, it actually broke out yesterday on Thursday, and it's hitting new highs today as of right now, midday Friday. So that's what we're looking for is stocks like that. There's a bunch of them. I'll show them in the weekend report that are setting up really nice and that didn't budge. Now, you can look at other leaders that broke down. Look at ARM, A-R-M. That was a really good winner for a long time, and it broke the 50 this week on heavy volume. SMCI, another really big leader, broke the 50 on, Netflix gapped down on earnings. ASML gapped down on earnings. So there's a lot. Those guys that are getting hit, they get taken off the leaders list. And it just becomes one of those situations like when you play sports. If you're a coach of the team, you want your strongest players playing, and the ones that need to rest, hey, put them on the bench, let them rest. And then when they've rested, they've repaired the damage, bam, you bring them back in again.
Sure.
So for now, we're just looking for leaders.
And we're looking for leaders not so much to necessarily buy, but to be aware of when the market conditions change, right? Like Wells Fargo broke out, but also the overall market conditions right now, it's descending and not showing any sign of stopping. So it's not a amped. The M is market positions. The A is for advanced entry points. Wells Fargo may have given us an entry point, but the market conditions are not in line. We're not in hard money with the market, as you like to say, right?
Yes.
So you're going to take that. You're not saying don't buy Wells Fargo. You're not saying buy Wells Fargo. But if you're going to use AMPT, you have to take the entry point and the market conditions. And make a decision. And what I'm hearing is for you, Wells Fargo goes on the list of leaders for when the market conditions turn around.
Yeah, and I won't necessarily buy it because it already took off and went, but that's okay. I'm going to have a bunch of setups. So there's two things we look for. We look for breakouts and we look for setups. And breakouts are just stocks that are literally hitting new highs and they're breaking out of a base. So let's say a stock goes, what's a base? A consolidation, a sideways period, digestion, whatever word you want to use. But basically a stock goes sideways for 6 months between 50 and 55.
Yeah.
The word resistance is 55. It's a ceiling. And the word support is 50. It's support. And it's like, I think of a floor, like in a floor in a room. And sorry, you're in a bedroom or in any house. There's a ceiling and there's a floor. And then there's like a bouncing ball. It bounces between every time it hits a ceiling right around 55. Could go slightly above it, slightly below it, 44.90, whatever it is, 55.10.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's that range.
You can look at it and you can tell that that's where it stops. Yeah.
Yeah, and then eventually, if it's going to double, it has to break out above resistance. So that's a breakout when it gets above 55.
Yeah.
And if it does it on heavy volume, that shows you the big institutions are likely in there buying it, not Aunt Joe and Uncle John or whatever it is, right? Or Aunt Jane and Uncle Joe, whatever it is. So you're in a situation here where you're waiting for those stocks that are setting up, that are trading below 55 resistance, right? Mm. You've got a situation where you want to find the stocks that are going sideways. They're not breaking down below support because lots of stocks are getting crushed right now. That's what pullbacks do. That's what corrections do. That's what descending markets do. It's like squeezing a lemon. You really want to, you're sifting for gold kind of thing. All the sand falls out, but the gold nuggets stay up in the little thing. It's the same kind of concept where you want to find strength and isolate strength. Because once the environment improves and you get that follow-through day, guess what? Those strong stocks that didn't go down, that are trading right next to resistance, they're most likely to pop and break out and run.
Right.
And the first ones out of the gate on those follow-through days, the first ones that break out, even break out now, like Wells Fargo could become a leader in the next cycle. Why? Because it already broke out before the follow-through day. And sometimes that happens.
Yeah.
Look at ELF on the shelf, ELF, excuse me, is a ticker. That was a big winner in 2022 and 2023, and the market was lousy in 2022. And the beginning of 2023, the market finally kicked into gear. But ELF, it broke out in 2022 and had a huge run. So lots of times you get these exceptions where you look for, and it was on our list, you see these stocks that are going before the follow-through day, and I'll, for me, I'll let it pass. I'm not going to be able to catch every single major stock in the market. Nobody can that I know of consistently every single cycle, and that's okay. That's the other side of it. Most things fail, that's okay. You still get the beautiful apple tree. So, and you still get those big winners. Like, you had a bunch of losing trades, normal. I had a bunch of losing trades too. So does everybody that's active, and that's okay, as long as those losses are small, and those winners, you let run. And that's it.
Yeah, it's not rocket science, but it's understanding the rules and following the rules, even when your emotions want to scramble your mind.
You know, Sean, that is the whole point of the book, Psychological Analysis, and thanks to your help, it was number one on Amazon for every day for 3 months. The reason why is because it teaches you how to, gives you a framework, gives you what we do, the AMP investment system, but teaches you how to create your own framework and how to remove your emotions from the decision-making process. And that's a superpower, in my humble opinion. And the other side of this too is stay humble. You know, you could feel, oh man, I'm up 30% this year. I'm crushing the market. Whatever. I'm up 50% this year. Whatever. Okay, great. Stay humble.
Yeah, I love that.
The market, it's so powerful.
Well, and I love that too, because I think from talking to folks who've been listening to the podcast and who've been asking me about the AMP strategy, a lot of time pride gets in the way. Because somebody had a theory, they made a prediction of how they thought something was going to work, and then when the data starts showing them it's not working that way, they stay doggedly committed to this prediction that they made because they've wrapped their ego up in it, and they allow themselves to get dragged down trying to insist that it was going to work. When what you've taught me to do is take a look at these things and say, I don't know if this is going to go up or down. I think that it's showing strong performance. It's got a technical pattern that I like. It's got an advanced entry point. And the market conditions are good, so I'm going to take a shot. And I'm going to put my stop in where I'm comfortable. I'm mitigating my risk. And then, guess what? Over 36 trades since August 30th, 19 of them worked to some degree, and a handful of them were blockbusters. And I don't take any pride. I'm just glad it happened, but it wasn't. Yeah. I didn't predict any of it. I think what AMP's all about is and it never predicting, always anticipating. And you anticipate that things can go up, down, or sideways, as you say a lot. And you limit your downside, and you don't cap your upside, and get your emotions out of it, and you might have a pretty good time.
Yeah, and it's anticipating, really not predicting. There's a big difference.
Yeah, exactly. I want to be very clear. Yeah.
A lot of people get confused. We're not predicting anything. I don't know what I'm going to eat for dinner tonight, let alone where the market's going to be in 6 months or a year or 2 years or whatever. No one does. So there's lots of big Wall Street banks that come up with their predictions. Oh, here's my forecast. Well, people love forecasts because there's two elements. There's the what is happening, and then the why is something happening.
Yeah.
Ego, human nature, the psyche, needs to grab onto something. Why? I need to understand why. And that doesn't matter what it is. Why'd you fail the test? Why'd you pass the test? Why'd you cheat on me? Why'd you didn't cheat on me? How come you were late to the meeting? How come you didn't sign this big deal? How come you did sign this big deal? How'd you buy that big stock? How did you not buy? So on and so forth.
Yeah.
It's the monkey brain. It goes nuts. And believe me, I am a testament to my whole life. I'm dealing with this guy.
Yeah.
Right? The schmelf inside of me.
Dealing with your monkey brain? Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. So, okay, great. The why. But what shows up on your statement? Notice my language. I didn't say why shows up on your statement. What shows up on your statement is price. What is actually happening in the market? That's all that matters. In fact, the why literally doesn't matter. Well, Adam, what do you mean the why doesn't matter? Because it doesn't matter. It doesn't show up on the statement.
Right.
All that impacts your performance, whether you make money or lose money, is what happens to the price. And that's what is happening. Now, I can give you a million reasons why I think something's happening. Doesn't matter.
Right.
The what is what matters. So the anticipation, it's not a prediction. Like, oh, I'm anticipating this stock. I'm going to predict this stock is going to double from here.
No.
It's exactly what we're not doing. I just need to be very clear because there is confusion on that point. All we're doing is we're anticipating our own behavior in the event the stock goes up, down, or sideways.
Right. And in that vein,
expect risk.
We did not predict that this would be the week that the market would crash below the 50-day moving average, right? Or last week when it, you know, but we have been anticipating it now for a while, you know,
correct.
And we couldn't know that this is when it was going to happen, but we're not surprised that it has. and we had our protective stops in, we were prepared for it. And now we're anticipating a day when we're going to see a follow through day, and then we'll start the strategy all over again.
That's it.
All right.
It's just that simple.
All right, everybody. That's the show for today. Thanks for listening through to the end. I hope you're feeling good. I hope that either you've cashed out and are sitting on a pile of money, or you have your protective stops in and your risk is mitigated and you're comfortable facing the near-term future. We'll be back next week to see how things go. Until then, as Adam always says, keep your losses small, let your winners fly.
You want to find strength and isolate strength.